Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mips. Today, we are still recovering from a very disappointing loss to Coastal Carolina. But, you know, as we all know, during football season, the next game comes pretty quickly. This one is coming a little bit quicker than normal, with it being a Friday night game, as the Kansas Jayhawks are traveling to play the Boston College Eagles. To help me preview this game, I have Niraj from our sister site, BC Interruption. Niraj, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad. No complaints here.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and jump right in. Obviously, Boston College, you know, has gotten off to a pretty hot start. They have two wins already under their belt, including a win over former Jayhawk quarterback Ryan Willis over at Virginia Tech. So my first question for you is kind of what were the expectations for BC by this point in the year? And has anything in those first two games kind of changed what you think this team can do throughout the rest of the year?
Honestly, yeah, you know, I would say about where we are right now, I think that first game was really going to decide the course of the season, quite frankly, you know, whether it was a close loss, a close win, or just a blowout loss was probably the three options that I think we all thought was going to be the case. Initially, I don't think we had many expectations going into. I think the fan base was quite jaded after a few, you know, 7-5, 7-6 seasons, the past few years, and not really much development of the offense, pretty stagnant, but, you know, solid performances overall. But, you know, I think we're pleasantly surprised after that first win. Last week, tough to take anything away from a win over an FCS program like Richmond, but a good performance no less, and yeah, that's where we are now.
It's actually kind of funny because I actually live down in Richmond, so I got a little bit more coverage of that game than I was anticipating. And I mean, you guys kind of killed them, so I mean, it wasn't really anything, you know, it's a lot more you can say about that than what we did with Indiana State. You guys talking about being a little jaded about having, you know, consecutive 7-5 seasons. Kansas fans would be killing right now to get consecutive 5 seasons. So, just be careful, you know. Don't let your expectations get so high that you don't enjoy the bowl trips that you do get. So,
oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So
it's coaching stability, I guess, is something nice.
Yeah. So I think kind of the previous game where we can get the most out of would be that game against Virginia Tech.
Right.
It's a well-known fact that, you know, Kansas quarterbacks seem to leave Kansas and go on and play really well. but what was it kind of in those first two games that really kind of got BC going? And I guess what I'm really leading into is where should we expect most of the production for BC to come from?
Yeah, I would say the most surprising thing I think we all saw was that the offense was lights out, at least for the first half of that Virginia Tech game, for the most part. A lot, you know, BC over the past few years has been very adamant about running the ball, very Les Miles-esque, quite frankly. That has been Steve Adazio's kind of way to go as well, his belief system as well, but a new offensive coordinator came in this year, and things kind of started clicking. Anthony Brown at quarterback, it's his third year starting. He's been injured the last 2 years, yes, but, you know, being a veteran, being a leader on this team now, I think he's learned a lot and really started clicking in the offense, and you saw a lot more downfield passing. Just a dynamic offense, I'm sure Kansas, you guys are looking for yourself, quite frankly.
Yeah, I am. I kind of wish we were seeing that kind of, you know, dynamic passing and running game at Kansas. I think there was a lot of expectations that Kansas was going to start to do that when Puka Williams came back. And the question really is, you know, is their offense going to be set up to do that kind of thing? Or, you know, are they going to kind of run everything straight up the gut and hope that the offensive line can open up holes,
right,
which doesn't seem to be working. But before we get too much into what BC's going to do on defense, because I think we'll have a lot of those kind of discussions in just a minute here. You know, taking a look at the individuals that you guys actually have, quarterback, let's see, is it Anthony Brown, I believe,
yep,
is the name of your guys' quarterback.
Yep.
You know, it looks like he's got 438 yards on the year, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. So seems to be taking care of the ball pretty well. Is that by design of the offense being super run heavy, or, you know, do they try to mix in the pass quite a bit more than they have in years past?
Yeah, I think they've mixed it in a lot more than they have in years past. And I would say he's never been a really turnover prone guy. His real issue in the past few years has really been, throwing short of the sticks, quite frankly, on third down, not really looking too downfield and getting rid of the ball kind of quickly, or too quickly sometimes, more often than not. He's been doing fine. I think he hasn't been pressured all too much. Virginia Tech's defense really wasn't as deadly as, you know, they could have been. And Richmond didn't really have any pass rush at all. So he's been had a lot of time to throw. The offensive line has been playing great. So he has been consistent in some ways, but he has been a little shaky with some of his passes, no less, even though a lot of them were, you know, wide open at the same point. I think the real people who have really stepped up have been a freshman receiver, Zay Flowers, who's really just provided a lot of dynamic running. Anytime you get the ball in his hands, he can make plays and really moves the offense a lot more and opens things up for everyone, including the run game.
So talking about the running game, you know, it looks like you guys have two main runners for this squad. A.J. Dillon being the main guy, and he carried the load for the most part in that Virginia Tech game. What I'm trying to figure out, though, do you guys really have a two running back system, or was it more that the Richmond game got so out of hand that it was time for the backups to get in there and get some additional time there? And
you know, normally I would say no, we don't, but this seems to be the way the offense wants to run. Having two guys that are very similar, just two power backs that can just wear teams down. A.J. Dillon has had issues the last few years of just staying healthy by the end of the season, especially. So I think that's why, you know, the bringing on David Bailey and making him just take a few, let AJ take a few spells off throughout the game and give them their own, kind of drives. That's been entirely by design, it looks like. And it seems like that's going to be those two guys really handling the bulk of the work.
So that AJ, actually,
of course, having a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually answered the other question I was going to have in that, you know, is it a case where they're, you know, both in there at the same time and kind of complementing each other, but it sounds like they're really just kind of rotating. So you're going to get exactly the same sort of look. It's just a matter of who's in there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really it is it's a single running back style system, and you just have two guys that can fill that running back role.
Yeah. That being said, there are, you know, two kind of pass catching backs that do play kind of complement both those two guys at the same time, and Travis Levi and Ben Glines. Both of them have also been mixed in at wide receiver as well. So they are usually on the field at the same time. So they can change the look if they want. I haven't really seen anything so far, but I know the offense apparently has been holding a lot of stuff back to try to build as the season goes on.
Yeah, it seems kind of interesting that they would hold stuff back, especially with Virginia Tech being kind of the first game.
Yeah.
It always seems like you would hold stuff back for in conference, but
when exactly
the year is a conference game, I don't know that necessarily makes any sense, but
no, it's exactly what my thought was, but that was pretty much the narrative coming out of the coaching staff and the media pretty much for the last week or so. So I'm rolling with it too. I've called it out myself.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how much stuff was actually being held back and how much that was a convenient narrative for a close call in a you know, first game of the season.
Exactly.
You know, we had similar sort of speculation on our end for Kansas specifically, you know, thinking because Puka Williams was suspended for the first game of the year, that maybe they were kind of holding stuff back and being conservative in that first game because a lot of stuff they wanted to install, they needed a guy like Puka to do it. It turns out when we got to the second game, no, they were being completely honest that there really wasn't more that they were going to add. They just, for some reason, I'm not sure why, don't really know how they're going to use those guys this year and actually take advantage of what they can naturally do. So, all right. I do want to go ahead and switch over to the other side of the ball here, but real quick, before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. And we're back. All right. So we talked about the offense already. Now I want to kind of switch over to the defense, because I think this is probably where the most interesting matchups are going to be. In terms of the Boston College defense, what is that front seven for the defense like? You know, are you worried about their ability to kind of stop the run, especially a run attack like Kansas that has both a speed guy and Puka Williams and a more traditional power style type runner in Khalil Herbert?
You know, I think the jury is still out. I really like this linebacking core for the Eagles. They're the only really guys that have had a lot of playing time in past seasons. Apart from that, though, a lot of kind of question marks in the front and, you know, on the defensive line. A lot of unproven guys haven't really been tested yet. I don't think Virginia Tech really had a good run game there. They threw the ball around like with ease, but I think this is the question that's still going to be raised here. BC had a lot of trouble last week with the option quarterback from Richmond. But, you know, still tough to say with a true traditional, like, running game, how well they can actually stop that. I don't have too many concerns, I think, with that. I think most BC fans would say the same thing, where the issue really is with the secondary and just being able to make stops there.
So I guess really what the question then is, how good is the pass rush for this team? Because like you said, if the main concern is the defensive secondary, mm-hmm. then the easiest way to kind of overcome that is to not give the quarterback time to actually throw it deep.
It hasn't been bad, actually, I would say. I know against Virginia Tech, they created a lot of pressures, did just really well up front. I guess I wouldn't put any stock in whatever happened during Richmond, but they played pretty well. That being said, the second half of that Virginia Tech game, you know, with Virginia Tech being down, they were naturally just throwing the ball around anyway, and it was pretty much tiring our defense out, I would say. But I think the jury is still out. It's really tough to say after just those two games on how well they can actually, create a pass rush. They didn't do a great job just rushing four. They had to bring blitzes, and when they did that, they did great, I would say. But rushing just four guys, they had a lot of problems.
Okay, and I guess the other thing that I'm kind of wondering about as well, because this is something that Kansas should be able to do, the question obviously being if they're going to do it. How well has this team handled, or have they even faced guys that can do a lot of misdirection with two, with a bunch of different kind of guys that can do things all over the field?
I don't think they're going to be able to handle it very well at all, actually. They haven't had to deal with it too much in any way. But I cannot see that being a well-defended play for them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess kind of talking about the linebackers, you're talking about, they're solid. Are they kind of, whole field end-to-end type of guys, or are they more of, good defense against like the power running game and like solid up the middle? So like how good are they at getting side to side across the field?
It depends. So there's one linebacker, Isaiah McDuffie, who was out the first game. I don't know if he's going to be back for it, and last week as well. I don't know if he's going to be back for this game. He would definitely be able to provide a lot more kind of side-to-side action. But a lot of – I would say they're better probably at just holding their own and creating some pressure when they – they're also pretty good in coverage. I would say that too.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, depending on who you're rooting for, but I think I've gotten, in terms of like, just to see if I'm catching everything correctly, it sounds like the main concerns you guys have are in the secondary this year, that if a team can provide enough time for a quarterback to get some deep throws, that you guys are really kind of concerned about that. It definitely sounds like that's something Virginia Tech is kind of set up for. Ryan Willis has always shown the propensity, I think, at least when he was at Kansas, to throw it deep. And really, it was just a matter of how good was that secondary to be able to kind of read what he was trying to do.
That's exactly right.
I think, I guess, what I'm kind of curious, and will probably be one of the biggest matchups, is going to be, how well can Kansas utilize both a Puka Williams type back that has speed to the edge and kind of that quickness to make a couple guys miss. Versus Khalil Herbert, pounding at the middle once they have to start taking advantage, or once they have to start to account for that speed out to the edge. Do you agree that that's probably going to be one of the main matchups that we're looking for, especially when Boston College is on defense?
Yep. 100%. I think that's going to decide the whole game, definitely. Whether King Kansas can do that and keep the ball on their hands and tire the defense out and maybe if they, you know, start throwing it, then yeah, get open up again.
So I guess really, like, what is it that you're most concerned about in terms of like the key matchup? Are you more concerned about being able to handle a guy like Khalil Herbert, you know, a power style runner up the middle, or a guy like Puka who is really good out in space? Or is it more of the combination of two of those guys you could potentially have on the field at the same time?
I think it's the combination. Again, the team hasn't really been tested like that. And I think that's going to be the whole matchup here, and whether they can weather a storm and get off the field, that's going to be everything for them.
So I guess really what it comes down to is the key matchup is going to be less against his playbook, whether he decides to actually use that or if he's just going to run the power run the entire time with Puka as well. So, all right. So let me see. In terms of on the other side of the ball, because I know we've already kind of talked about the offense as well. For you guys, but when Boston College is on offense, what is it you're most concerned about in the Kansas defense, or is there anything?
Oh man, from what I've seen so far, I think it's just in the pass rush in the secondary. I think Anthony Brown has had some shaky throws. You know, he's had a lot of guys just wide open, and even then, you know, you can see passes are somewhat behind, and I can see, you know, Kansas getting some takeaways if he is inaccurate, like he has been in the past. So if they can create some turnovers, I think that's if the secondary can create some turnovers, that's probably my only concern. I don't think he's never been that kind of guy to just be too careless with the ball, but I don't know, something just kind of bugs me about it a little bit.
So do you think it's that they haven't really faced anyone that can take advantage of him trying to throw deep and maybe being a little shaky there? Or is it that, you know, maybe it's something that's kind of improved or it just hasn't happened yet?
Yeah, I think he just hasn't really been tested too much. In past years, from what I'm trying to remember right now, you know, he didn't really throw deep very often at all. So, you know, there wasn't really too much to go on. But this year, if the game plan is to start spreading it out a little more, I don't know, he could fall into some traps.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see that happening. All right. Well, I don't really have too many more specific questions to ask you, but I do want to get kind of just your overall thoughts. Is there anything in terms of, before we get to actual predictions, is there any other aspect of this game that you really think is going to be important or something that you want to highlight that we haven't talked about yet?
I don't know. I think based on how, you know, Coastal Carolina played last week, I don't know how much stock I should be putting into myself, but given how, you know, they were just able to run the ball with ease, it seemed, I don't feel too worried. And I feel like the powerbacks we have will cause a lot of problems themselves.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, though, how much of that was, you know, them not really taking what Coastal Carolina can do seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of focusing more internally with Puka coming back. You know, we've seen this in the past where teams get a little bit of confidence and then overlook somebody that they shouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, get that big wake-up call and then come back and redouble their efforts.
Yeah.
The other thing that kind of, you know, I'm wondering how much of that was what CJ Marable can do for Coastal Carolina. He's a very dynamic back that's really good in both the running and the passing game. You know, and the part of the problem with covering a guy like him is that you can't really tell what he's going to do. He's a similar sort of style back to a guy like Puka Williams, where he can, mm-hmm. he can run up the middle and is shifty enough to kind of squeeze through any hole that you get, but he's also quick enough to get out on the edge real quick. And I don't think Kins was prepared to really be ready for a guy like that. It doesn't sound to me like Boston College has a guy that is kind of that all-purpose type of guy. They've got guys that are really good at the one, you know, at the things that they're really good at doing, mm-hmm. But can't really kind of fool anyone in terms of what type of plays they're intended to be getting the ball for. Does that sound like an accurate assessment, or is there a little bit more to some of these guys?
I think normally I would absolutely agree with you. The one few little thing that I would point out is that apparently last week, you know, A.J. Dillon was catching the ball as well and had a catch, I think, in the first game as well. That's something completely new to his game. He has said that he wants to incorporate more this year, especially, but has not done so in the past. If that is the way that they want to actually use him in space like that as well and get him the ball in other ways, that could be huge. And if, you know, jury's still out whether that's, you know, actually by design or was just by happenstance. But I think AJ Dillon can be that guy. Not as dynamic, you know, with the ball in space, because of just the style of runner he is, but he can make plays there.
Yeah, I guess part of the question there, having not actually watched the games completely, you know, was that an instance where, like, is it more, and maybe you can't answer this, but is it more of a kind of throwing it to him on a wheel route or like a little screen pass, and he's been able to pick up some big yards out of it, which is kind of more like a, you know, like a run, or has it him been like lining up in the slot and actually running receiver routes and adding like a receiving element to his game? Do you know?
No, more just wheel routes and stuff like that. I don't think he's lined up as a receiver just yet. But again, you never know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
changes that the team has, you know, with the new offensive coordinator. I can see him if especially if AJ's doing well with that and he wants to do that more often. I can see him having that kind of say there.
Yeah. True. All right. So. I do want to go ahead and get to predictions, and I have one kind of – I like to ask some crazy off-the-wall questions whenever I get to them, and I have one for you. Should be interesting. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to one more quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Talk podcast. And we're back. Okay, so before we get to kind of this crazy off-the-wall question that I have, I do want to ask – it is, you know, time for us to officially do predictions. So I want to get your prediction, whether that includes a final score prediction or kind of more of just a – how you expect the game to go. What are you expecting to see? You know, are you expecting it to be a close game or will this be a blowout by the end? What's your general thoughts on how the flow of the game is going to go?
You know, I think early on, I think both teams can get in this rut of just running the ball to no end and, you know, kind of being pretty ugly and not really getting too far. Maybe a score here and there, but then I think the BC offense can open things up, especially if, you know, Kansas has the ball for too long. I can see them opening up, and final score wise, I was going with 38-14 BC earlier today.
Yeah, I mean that's not necessarily a bad. I know that the line is like 21 points.
Yeah.
So that would be BC covering it. To be honest, I could see this going a couple different ways. I mean,
definitely.
You know, yeah. Puka is going to have a breakout game at some point where he just goes absolutely crazy. The question is that going to be a game where, you know, we completely don't expect, cause last year what happened is, you know, Puka Williams didn't play in his first game and then, I'm sorry, didn't play in the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. And his first game was on the road. They had a huge breakout, you know, and now granted, Central Michigan is nowhere near the kind of team that this Boston College team is, but there's something to be said about Puka having huge, you know, huge performances in a hostile environment. And so I'm wondering if maybe he kind of feeds off the energy there, off the disappointing loss from last week, mm-hmm. You know, and really kind of gets in there and shows us some things. I think that's completely a possibility. And the fact that you do have the concern with the secondary, you know, we saw in that first game, two receivers for Kansas in Andrew Parchment and Dalen Charlotte, who have the ability, you know, to make some big catches and take advantage of some secondaries. And so I'm wondering, like, I think the key to the game is really going to be how quickly Kansas can get the passing game involved. Mm-hmm. You know, if the offensive line has the same problems that they had in the game against Coastal Carolina, then Stanley is not going to have any chance to get the ball to the receivers, which will really shut down what Kansas can do so that Boston College can just pin their ears back and go after them and really shut down the run game. If that happens, I could see Kansas getting completely destroyed. You know, maybe scoring once, getting like 7 points, and Boston College is going to run all over them. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I have a little bit of hope that Kansas can cover, but I still think they're going to lose by 3 scores. You know, I'm anticipating that they'll probably get a little bit going at the beginning. Boston College will find their footing, race out to a big lead, and Kansas might get a couple back at the end just to kind of make it respectable. Ultimately, I do think that Boston College is probably going to win this game, something in the realm of You know, I'd say something probably about, 45 to like 27 or something like that. So,
oh, yeah.
All right. So my final kind of off the wall question, and this is being actually smack dab in the middle of ACC country. I get to hear a lot of ACC talk, and kind of the weird story of the week and really of this early season is the fact that the same night that this game is going on, you know, there is a North Carolina and Wake Forest non-conference game that is happening. And the story that I've heard for why that's actually happening, why there's a non-conference game, is when the ACC went to 14 teams, they split up into two different divisions. And the way that the scheduling works now is that teams that are in opposite divisions will play each other twice over like an 11-year period, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. And essentially, North Carolina Wake Forest decided that they didn't want to wait that long to play each other. And so they scheduled a non-conference home-and-home series. So my question for you is there anybody that Boston College has in the opposite division of the ACC that they would potentially consider, or that fans might want them to play, that basically that they decide, you know, we don't play them often enough. Like, is there a team in the ACC that you would think about potentially doing a non-conference series with just so that you could play them more often?
Oh, wow. You know, so we have a crossover game with Virginia Tech. We pretty much play every year. I would say Virginia, actually. I think the way that program's being built up under Bronco Mendenhall is very similar to the way Steve Adazio kind of runs his program. And I don't know, the schools just seem very similar in just how they're always viewed, football wise. So yeah, Virginia.
Interesting. That means I would get to, both of the local schools, I would actually get to see Boston College a whole lot more. even though I'm not an ACC fan at all, because obviously I'm a Kansas fan and a Big 12 guy. I get exposed to a lot of different ACC teams, and it's definitely been interesting to kind of see the differences between Virginia Tech and then Virginia. I know a lot of grads from both of them. Mm-hmm. And I do agree from what I've seen from Virginia. I think they're a fairly similar type of program, and that would kind of be a good way to kind of gauge how those two teams are doing comparatively if they were to play more often. So
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Niraj, where can the people find you online?
Oh, they can find me at Niraj_Patel7, I think, on Twitter. That's pretty much it. Yeah. And on SB Nation, same as well for BC Interruption.
Sounds good. All right, Niraj, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't already, you can find us out wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much every other podcast app out there. Just search for Rock Chalk Talk, and you can actually find us there. Give us a rating, subscribe. We would appreciate 5 stars, nice comments, all that fun stuff. But if for some reason you can't give us 5 stars, at least leave us a review, so that way we know what it is we can work on to be bringing you guys better content. You know, we are wanting to kind of bring the fans the content that they do want to hear. So if you do have any comments, questions, suggestions, anything else you want to get in touch with us with, you can email us rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @rockchalkpod. But we do welcome any kind of input that you guys have. We do want to bring you guys the best product that we possibly can. So, we will go ahead and leave it there for today. This will be a little bit shorter than our preview episodes normally are, but, it was a little bit of a shorter week to prep for. So we can use that as our excuse. But Niraj, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.